Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
We'll go to the Middle East because Israel has struck a military facility in central Iran, according to US officials. The attack reportedly in retaliation for Iran's drone and missile strike on Israel last weekend didn't cause any significant damage, we're told, with Iran is downplaying its impact. For some analysis on the ongoing situation, I'm joined by Favaz Gerges, who's a professor of international relations at the London School of Economics. Professor Gerges, you're very welcome to the programme. What do you think will happen next?
Well, I think round one is over. It's an equaliser, 1-1. And I think both sides have stepped back from the brink. This does not really mean that there will be no second round and third round and fourth round. But the reality is both sides do not really want further escalation. It seems to me that the American might have played a major role in trying to really impress on Netanyahu and the World Cabinet not really strike with, you know, significantly. So for now, the Iranians are saying, well, look, nothing big has happened. We will not respond. And I think this is really the best kind of scenario one would have expected out of this deadly embrace between Israel and Iran.
What about any possible attack by another attack, I should say, from now on, from an Iranian proxy that could inflame the situation?
Well, what you really have is you have a low-intensity war taking place between Israel on the one hand and Hezbollah on the other hand, on the Syrian-Lebanese border. Hezbollah is one of the pride and joy of Iran. You also have the Houthis in Yemen, who are targeting, you know, commercial shipping in the Red Sea. At the end of the day, even though round one has ended, as long as there is no ceasefire in Gaza, you're going to have really a potential trigger, whether it's in Syria or Lebanon or Iraq. Gaza is really it. It's the trigger. And that's why, at the end of the day, without really the end of the bloodletting in Gaza, there is always the risk of further escalation between Iran and Israel. The reality is the shadow war between Iran and Israel has really become an open confrontation now.
So, and what happens in Favaz, if I can jump in for a second, given what you've said, what happens if Israel launches that ground invasion that they promised in Rafah?
This is it. You really put your finger on the pulse of the big spark or trigger. My fear is that if Israel does carry out an onslaught on Rafah, it's the last really part of Gaza that has not been invaded by Israel, you're going to see further escalation. And this really could escalate into all-out war between Israel on the one hand and the United States and Hezbollah and Iran and its allies. And to come back to the key question, I think so far the United States has really failed to impress and to convince the Israelis to accept a permanent ceasefire. Without a ceasefire in Gaza, not only you have now more than 34,000 Palestinians killed in Gaza, but the war itself is expanding to neighboring countries. And this low-intensity war is turning into an open, all-out confrontation between Iran and Israel, and that's really where the danger lies.
Mm-hmm. And you've pointed, of course, rightly to the U.S. position here, because they do hold a very central position, but they don't hold a neutral position, according to Iran, for example. So where do we look to for that voice that may be neutralising or de-escalating? Is it the United Nations, for example?
Well, you know, really, another great question. There are no adults in the room anymore. Where are the adults? Where are the peacemakers? The United States is the most powerful nation, and the United States is fully engaged on the side of Israel. Arms, ammunitions, money, political support, intelligence. Literally, the United States is an indirect participant in this particular war.
They would say support self-defense, though.
Well, I mean, do we call the killing of 34,000 Palestinians self-defense? Do we call the injury of 76,000 Palestinians self-defense? Do we call the displacement of 1.8 million Palestinians self-defense? Do we call the use of starvation as a weapon of force a self-defense? Do we call the destruction of 60% of Gaza, 60% of buildings, and the habitat of Gaza has been destroyed? The reality is you're not talking about self-defense. What Israel is really trying to do is collective punishment of the Palestinians, not to mention that the International Court of Justice now has an open case accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. So no, it's not self-defense. Hamas committed a horrible crime on the 7th of October, but Israel has done a greater harm to the Palestinian civilian populations, and I'm not exaggerating. You just have to see what's going on in Gaza to see the extent, the gravity of the and catastrophic nature of the humanitarian crisis. Mm-hmm.
And that's acknowledged, I think, by almost all parties bar Israel, the dire situation in Gaza. Can I ask you one final question then, which isn't related to the immediate, fraught, dangerous position that the region finds itself in, but because of this position that Israel and Iran and Gaza and Palestine finds itself in, has it set back any possible more permanent solution to the Middle East conflict, as it's called?
Well, you know, I wish I could really give you a positive answer. I've spent all my life studying and researching and writing on the Middle East. I just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, most of the scenarios are really bad options. The reality is, I mean, as long as you have military occupation, Israeli military occupation of Palestinian land, without self-determination for the Palestinians, without genuine reconciliation, Israel and the Palestinians, genuine reconciliation with the Palestinians, I fear that we're going to have multiple rounds of wars and conflicts between Israel and its neighbors, not to mention the geostrategic rivalries that are tearing, racking the regional system apart.
Well, that's a very dark outlook from you, an esteemed expert in the area, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics, Fawaz Gurjay. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.